And we're live. We are live, Catfish. This is Big Tune and Catfish, episode Trace. What embargo?
How you guys doing this evening?
How is everyone doing? We're I don't know about you, but I'm pumped to get back and rolling again, and we got our schedules lined up, and we're going to kick butt.
I'm so pumped, dude. I bought a gun today, so that makes me
better. What type of gun did you get?
Ruger LC9. It's a little compact 9mm because California is retarded, and they basically chased Ruger and Smith & Wesson out. So I decided to flex my Second Amendment rights and use my credit card and get one.
Well, there you go, man. I see you're sporting a nice Cuba hat, and I'm sporting the Cuba flag. Mm-hmm. Let's get rolling.
What are we going to talk about today, bro?
We are going to talk about several things. We are going to talk about packaging on Habanos products. We're going to talk about what is legitimate. We're going to talk about...
Why is packaging important, bro? Why is packaging important, too? Now, please tell everybody why they need to know about packaging.
So you don't get fake Monte Cristo number twos in reviewing. Oh, shnikes. We're gonna get rolling, and we're going to talk about fake money number twos in about half an hour. I'm sorry. I had to get going on it. But no, packaging is really important so we can really determine whether or not we have a legitimate Habanos or not. Mm-hmm. We're also going
to
be talking about...
We wouldn't want to review fake ones.
No, I'm glad to know that we don't. And we're also going to be talking about the H. Upman Magnum 46. Hello, that was friggin' crazy.
We're not going to talk about the Hoyo de Monterey Epicura Special, other than I'll say it's really good and it's one of my favorites, but that's for another show, another time.
No, yeah, we're gonna talk about probably, in my opinion, the best Corona Gorda out there.
I'll give you that.
I'm smoking a 2009. This is when they first came out in tubos, man. This is back from when they started releasing them in these tubes, which are beautiful tubes. Just awesome packaging. I wish non-Cuban manufacturers would release more cigars in tubes.
I know you like tubes, huh?
I do.
I like Bill Clinton.
Kind of like Bill Clinton. I thought he used a real cigar, man.
No, he used his tube. Gurkha. That's what he gave to old Monica. Yeah, nice. Tubas are very important in part of American history.
Exactly. But yeah, we're going to be talking about the H. Upman Magnum 46, which is a Corona Gorda, 5 5/8 by 46. It's been on the market since before 1960, before the revolution. It wasn't banded for a long time. Then they added the H. Upman band in 2006. Then in 2008, they added the Magnum 46 band. I'll let you see the two bands. So they added that in 2008. And then in 2009, they started packaging them in tubos. But the H. Upman is a brand that moved to the global brand category, and I think it's a brand that's been doing very well for Habanos. I know you could probably.
Lately, their reputation has really been. I mean, Sir Winston is one of those cigars that if you find them, they are gone. And then everybody who has them on the secondary market wants to charge an extra like $8 to look at it.
I can't ever really get my hands on them.
There's one place I know, and at your local neighborhood LCDH that can get them, and they're about 13 a piece, I want to say, and when they're there, they're gone.
Yeah,
immediately.
But it's probably, in my opinion, the best Churchill.
The number two lately has been really good.
The number two, 46,
I've had them been great.
I smoked a Magnum 50 the other day from. God, I want to say 2010, mm-hmm. And it smoked wonderfully. I mean, it was amazing, and it's really come a long way in 4 years, and it's going to even be better in a couple of years.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with everything they put out lately, and if anybody read my review, which I'll get into the details later, I'm in love with the vintage stuff as well. So,
yeah, Anytime with H. Upman, I think you got to age them, and it's one of those brands. If you buy H. Upman's, you buy a box of whatever it is.
Yeah.
You got to put them down, but they're going to be great. So just have patience. they're going to be phenomenal. And believe us when we tell you that. But we're also going to be talking about packaging. And do you have anything else to say before we just kind of jump into that, or do you want me just to kind of?
Were you going to say anything about H. Upman? I jumped in to talk about how much I love it because I am an H. Upman whore.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about the brand? Do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
I mean,
I love them. I didn't do research on that.
well, here we go. I mean, this is actually, gosh, we should talk about it more because this is a huge year. Recently, yesterday, the 16th Festival Habano ended. And with the 16th Festival ending, it marked the 170th year of the H. Upman brand.
Yeah.
The brand was founded in 1844 by Erman Upman, who I've heard is German or English, a banker. I've heard German more often than not, who basically came to Havana, opened up a branch, you know, made cigars, basically developed the H. Upman brand, began a factory. Factory did really well. He was one of the first guys to start using dress boxes, which I'll show you when we talked about packaging. I'll show you what a dress box is as opposed to a cabinet box. Hold on, I'm getting a call from Logan. Maybe this is... Yes?
Meanwhile, while he's talking to Logan, let's just talk about how awesome H. Upman is. I see Simon talks about the half Corona, and it is ridiculous. The PC is ridiculous, JP. These are guys in the chat talking about it. The Connoisseur
One
right now is ridiculous.
Wait, what'd you say?
What else?
You don't know the show, man. Fuck off.
The Corona Juniors as well. They do need a little bit of age, but the Corona Juniors are really good.
I guess I was live during that whole thing. I didn't mute myself. That was Logan. Logan was
live during what?
When we were talking right now.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Yeah,
you were.
I was on the phone with Logan. I thought it was something else. Go ahead, man.
Oh, I was just chatting with the guys in the chat room and talking about how wonderful a lot of the H. Upman current products are.
Yeah,
there's just so many good ones, dude. It's insane. It's everything they do right now is gold.
Yeah, and it's a company it went bankrupt for a while in the 1920s. Then it was bought by Jay Franco, the British company.
Which turned into Monte Cristo.
Then Monte Cristo, then Menendez, because when Menendez bought it, it got resurrected in 1935, and then it continued onwards, and then basically it's progressed since it's kind of just been middle grade, and then back in 2007 it really became bigger. But anyway, so it was the 170th year, and to honor its 170th year this year, Habanos S.A., decided to release the H. Upman number 2 Reserva Cosecha 2010.
Yeah.
And when I say Cosecha, which is spelled Cosecha, means vintage 2010. So all the tobacco in the cigars from 2010. And it's the H. Upman number 2. It's just your standard H. Upman number 2. It comes in boxes of 20. And it's probably going to be, $1,800 a box probably.
Oh, yeah. It'll be some ridiculous. I'll never touch one.
You're like, wow, that's ridiculous. It'll never sell. Habanos sells this stuff. It sells
wildfire.
And
it blows my mind how much guys will pay for those things, and they sell quick, and they're gone, and then they turn higher.
I have a couple H. Upman number 2s, which are from 2010 and 2011, and they're smoking great, but they probably won't even smoke anywhere near how well the Cosecha smokes.
No.
Along with that, since we're talking about the Festival Habano, I did a lot of coverage of it this year, and you're going to see more coverage from Cuban Cigar Federation, and it's going to be on SigFed, and we'll talk about it on What Embargo about some of the other new releases. One of the other newest releases for all you Partagas fans is the Siri D number 6, which is basically a 3.5-inch by 50 ring gauge kind of half Corona. It's like a big half Corona or a 3/4 Robusto. I was kind of making fun of it, but it's a very short Partagas Siri D.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about it earlier. I'm interested to see because I love the little tin packaging, which I'll show. I have a picture of it earlier. later for the half Corona. I think that's a great idea, just to put something in your pocket, like a, you know, that I can just put in my pocket when I'm rolling around to the bar or whatever. Have them. It's amazing. And I'm interested to see how that blend ends up because of the size. I mean, the short cigars, you can make them taste great with not too much complexity, but still have a really good dimension and flavor profile. And they do that with all their small cigars, in my opinion. So
I think it's
this
good.
This one being the larger ring gauge is what intrigues me, but it definitely shows that Habanos is paying attention to what the consumers want, because the half Corona blew up. I mean, I had it on my list last year because it was freaking fantastic. I've gone through two boxes. I know people who are buying, like, pallets of boxes of these things and smoking them like cigarettes. You know, the guys I know that are really, really big collectors. And so when I heard about the Partagas, it was – I mean, I'm definitely stoked. And I love a lot of Partagas. I'm not a big fan of the D4, though. It's not one of my favorites, which I'm in the minority there. But, you know, we'll see how this blend is tweaked for that shorter length. I'm really interested how they – how it'll turn out because of the shortness of it combined with the actual size. I mean, they're going to have to cut those. That bunch is going to be weird.
I actually had a friend. I didn't even know that he was down there until I saw his photo in one of the newsletters. So I emailed him, and I'm like, "Are you down there?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like crazy, man. I didn't know if they were using this year's photo or last year's photo. And I asked him, you know, how's the new stuff? And he thinks the Partagas is awesome. He likes bigger stuff, so he's like, it's too small. Yeah. But he says it's awesome. It's filled with tons of flavor. So that's exciting. The other new release, which is also another small cigar, is the Trinidad Vigia, which is about 4.2 inches with a 54 ring gauge. And this is a big cigar in terms of ring gauge that's coming to a line, which has kind of been on the decline. It's coming back to 3 Vitolas now in the brand. It's going to be the biggest ring gauge. I mean, you and I both like the Reyes, but I'm interested to see how this smokes.
Yeah, that was another one too. When I saw it, I'm not a huge fan of Chinese, so we'll see. When somebody I know grabs some, one of the traders I know grabs some, I'll probably pick one up to try them and see.
Yeah,
see.
I'm eager to smoke
how it is, but the one that I am most excited about is.
I knew you were going to be. Yeah, this is called La Olla de San Juan, which is basically a 6-inch by 54 ring gauge Toro. There's no Ligero used at all in the tobacco and the blend.
No Ligero, Logan. You're out there talking smack, Logan. I see you in chat.
Yeah, Logan.
No Ligero up in here.
This is going to be.
With that Ligero.
Yeah, this is. I mean, this is kind of. I think this is going to be a more compact version of the Double Corona. Smooth, creamy, flavorful, really enjoyable. I don't have
like bouncing in my seat right now. Honestly,
I know I have no interest in it. So, Catfish, buy them all up, man. I'll smoke the Trinis. You go smoke the Oyas.
It's all good, dude. You can smoke all the Porlanga until your heart's desires.
I will, man.
What's the next part of our show? That was all the news. We were covering all the crazy news. There was a ton of news this week. It's a little bit hard to keep up with.
We're going to talk about packaging now.
Should we talk about my package right now?
Yeah, I'm gonna share my package first.
You're gonna share your package first?
I'm gonna share my package and then we'll let you share your multiple packages. So we're now going into the packaging stage. We've talked about. You know, what to look for when you're buying a box of cigars.
And why is packaging important, Big Tuna? Why is packaging important?
So you don't smoke fake Monte Cristo number twos?
Somewhere Coop is laughing very, very hard. I wish if I was a smarter guy, I would have had that.
I know what I mean? Do it again. You have to speak with a thumbs up. That way your video is catching the attention.
That was me trying to make some kind of lame sound effect like Logan always does.
Yeah, well, Logan's lame. All right, well, here we go. We're gonna go with me. We're going to start sharing the screen. So let's – boom. Can you see that?
I can see it.
All right. What you're looking at here is a box of H. Upman, as you can read right there. It's a box of H. Upmans. I'll show you more information as we move along. So you'll see me right here to the right. You're going to see this little band here that says Habanos. on the right top right corner. Habanos puts this on every box they make. Once we get into Cohibas, it gets a little bit more complicated.
The fakes always have that, though. I mean, the fakes always have. So, and they do a pretty good job at that one. So you'll see a lot of times, you'll see on the glass tops there, people are like,
well, it says Habanos on the corner, man.
It's easy.
But and then, that's why you got to check the entire box out so you make sure you're not smoking
That's step one. Step two, step to your one. Left, is you're going to see a seal that says República de Cuba, and we're going to do a little close-up in there, and there's more to the seal. This is just what the top looks like. So looking at it from the top, if you don't see any of these two things, here's your sign. So moving right along, there's a close-up of the Habanos logo. It's got that nice little Habanos. It's got the leaf. You know, it's got that Spanish thing, which I'm not even going to pronounce right now. D.O.P. That's what's important. And then
what's that? The D.O.P.?
D.O.P.
Really? Is that what's important? Why is that important? I don't know. I'm asking. I'm being completely honest.
It's an original Portuguese. I think this is an official Habanos product.
Basically. Interesting. I'll have to look and see if it's on the fake pictures that I have.
Get the translation. It's probably there as well. I mean, it's not too hard. Yeah. Moving on, we're looking at this warranty seal, which says República de Cuba. If you look carefully on the right side, you'll see my mouse right here. It's a hologram, and I just didn't take as good photos. But there's a little hologram, and it's going to say Habanos, and it's going to have the little Habanos logo kind of so forth in there. That is on that end of the cigar, of that warranty seal. I'm sorry.
How long have they been putting the hologram on there, do you know?
Oh, my gosh. They started putting it up. Let's see. Hold on. It wasn't there in 2008. It was there in 2010, but they changed it. I think it was there. I think in 2009 or 2010.
I know I have boxes from 2005 that don't have it. When I was looking through my inventory today, I noticed that it wasn't on some of the boxes. So I didn't get an exact date, but... It's a newer thing.
It's not on my box of 2008 Edition Limitada Monte Cristo Sublimes, if that's what you're asking. But it is on my 2010 Grande Mundos. So that's what that seal is going to look like. Moving on, and at the bottom of this, and this is the code that's been upgraded since 2011 or 12, I believe. Now it's just kind of this single line. So you're going to see all these numbers in a barcode. If you have a barcode scanner, you can scan the barcode. Otherwise, you can manually input this code. If you get on the internet, you do like Habanos warranty seal. They basically show you and they give you the steps on how to put it in. It's really not that hard. But once you put that code in, Habanos is going to give you a little information about the cigar. Description, H. Upman, half Corona. Everything is correct, number 25. Which basically, when you get this message, something along these lines, you have a legitimate cigar. Now, I have heard from someone that's bought a box of, like, Cohiba Seagull 6s that they had something pop up which was, like, Monte Cristo number 2s. And I was like, man, that's crazy.
I've heard that before, too, and that doesn't surprise me because, you know, a lot of times you really do get weird stuff happening.
It happens.
And that's why it's important to know all of the little pieces of everything. Yeah. That's why it really...
Don't freak out.
You need to be an educated smoker when you're getting into this game, because if you don't know everything about the boxes, if you don't know everything about the bands, if you don't know everything about the caps, the sizes, the wrapper, the veins in the wrapper, and all that kind of stuff, then you're going to end up smoking fake Monte Cristo number 2s. And we wouldn't want to do that, would you? You would.
No, because then they taste metallic.
Because then you'd look like you were obsessed or something, and that just wouldn't be cool.
Then they taste metallic. So moving on to the next, you see I'm showing you the side of the box, which shows the H. Upman logo, half Corona, Habana Cuba, 25. There's 25 cigars in the box. They put the number there. I felt like a tool bag saying that. I felt like the guy we're making fun of. I'm sorry, everyone. Shit.
They are making fun of you.
I really don't want to be that guy, but I just became that guy. I hope they make fun of me for that, because I deserve it, to be honest with you. Shit. Moving on. Bottom of the box, you see this little seal, Habanos.
Which, and that seal has changed, you know, and I didn't, maybe in the next show remind me and I'll post all the pictures of the different seals, because that seal changed
it changed a bunch of times.
I want to say early 2000.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed for a while, but I know it changed a bunch of times, and so that's something else that people need to know. It's just not too many smokers are really into or have access to buying boxes to where the older stamps and the older factory codes and all that kind of stuff are going to be on there. So is it relevant information? Maybe, but for most of us who can only get our hands and afford to get our hands on the newer stuff, it's not really relevant. This is what you guys need to know is this stamp right here, because any variation on that stamp, and you got a fake, and all the fake boxes are going to have that and have that stamp on there. They all do it. But a lot of times you'll see it's like inked on. It's not really...
It's not pressed it's not pressed.
Yeah, it's kind of like branded into the box.
Yeah.
And on the fake boxes, you'll see it's very, very... It's easy. Once you've seen it on a real box and you've seen a fake box, you can tell when it's fake. I mean, it's easy as can be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Underneath that, you're going to see there's a little box, which in it says AME, and then underneath that says ABR13.
Yeah.
AME is the factory code. And Habanos does not say... what factory goes with the factory code. I imagine that this was coming out of the H. Upman cigar factory, but there's a possibility it came out of another factory.
You want to talk about that? You want me to talk about that for a second, Tuna?
Yeah, let's finish in the April 13th. And then ABR 13 is April 2013. Mm-hmm. We'll go to the factory code afterwards, right after this. Inside the cigars, you're going to get this little guy. This little guy, which is fun, and it's in German, it's in Spanish, it's in English, and it basically says, hey, you just bought a Cuban, and this is what you should keep it at temperature-wise and humidity-wise, and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then there's cigars.
Yeah, that's the best part.
So, yeah, go back to you and talk about the factory code.
Okay. Well, there's in that code that you guys see there, there's... a couple different things. There's a factory code and a date code, and that's how you know where the date code is, obviously, for you to know when it was produced. But the factory code is a quality control thing for Cuba, and they change it. The way they do their codes is insane. Apparently, since the mid-80s, they have had a coded factory origin stamp, these stamps that you see. And prior to that, there was no factory identification whatsoever. So
they change it every
stamping,
year, don't they?
What's that?
They change it every year.
Oh, they change it more than that.
Yeah, I mean it's like the biggest.
It's like, you know, wind talkers, dude. Code breakers cannot break the Cuban factory code secret, and they're constantly like moving the tobacco around and from factory to factory and producing things at different factories. You know, so they might make one cigar in the Partida Short in this factory, and then the next month they switch it to another factory, but they use the same factory code, and then they switch it to another factory, and they switch it a code again. And I mean, there's no way to know. And the whole reason is it's to deter buyers from wanting specific codes or specific factories or rejecting specific factories.
There's distributors I know who have requested certain factories and rollers, and that's why they've done it. I know that. I heard that from a retailer who basically said a bunch of them were like, hey, we want whatever factory made these. This is the one we want. And Habanos was like, no.
Yeah, well, the only guy who actually has done something along those lines is Mitchell Orchan from Cigars Limited in the UK. And when he chooses a vintage, he finds the box code, date code, factory code, figures out what it is, and then goes to Habanos SA and gets all of them, and they work with him. They give him all of them, and then he puts his secondary little Orchant selection band on it. It's the same band that you see on the Regis Orchant selection. He puts it on his Cuban selections, and then he holds on to them, and he's probably going to mark them up for ridiculous amounts at some point in time, but... he's very, very keen to that, and I know a lot of smokers are. So what that means to the general public and you guys out there is when you find a box code that you like, chances are 6 months to a year later, that factory code is not going to be anywhere the same. It's not going to be anything close. Who knows? It's not going to be the same tobacco. So if you find that you like, say, a TEB AGO 08, which would be August of 2008, TEB, then you liked what was coming out of that factory, and you know that code, don't you?
TEB? Oh, my gosh. TEB codes from 08 were phenomenal. I have some Royal Coronas and D4s and other TEBs, which are just sublime.
No, for sure. And that's where you will, for everybody who's out there, the newer guys out there who don't,
they have no idea about
the
codes.
Sense of this. What you want to do is when you hear guys saying, oh, my God, this code right now is ridiculous, then that's what you want to look for. Like right now, the MUR code, M-U-R, in 2013, for like in, I don't know, my guess is probably around March to August. But everything that they've put out, the MUR code from 2013, is wicked good. So whatever factory that was just pulling out the stops, dude.
TEB from 08, and I don't know.
It's ridiculous. It's legendary.
It is legendary. And there's a lot of people who are saying that was the Partagas factory.
I have heard that too at that time, but who knows? I mean, it's changed. The whole thing is the Cuba is so hardcore about changing these factory codes that nobody knows. So the only people that know are the guys who are running it, and apparently this is completely unbreakable. Nobody can figure it out, and it's really just a way for them to keep people from chasing factories. The good news is since 2005, 2006, when they really, really kind of scaled back on their output and they started to put out a more quality product, they started aging their tobaccos longer, really it doesn't matter as much. I will say it still does, and you'll still find some consistent codes here and there, but it doesn't matter as much. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I have some Punch from 07 that look terrible. They look green. They look disgusting, almost like a Panatella, and they're fantastic. And then I have some Punch from 07 that are that, you know, golden brown, like, ooh, when you open it up and you look at it, and the heavens open up when you look at these things, and they're just about as good. But they're not as good as the ugly green-looking things, you know what I mean? So it's all relative to taste, really, but I think nowadays it's not as important as an issue in the past.
Quality control has really been amazing.
It still is something that to pay attention to if you have the chance to get multiple boxes with the same factory coats because you like them. So,
you know, you look at the factories really right now that are catching a lot of it. You know, you have La Corona. You have H. Upman, you have El Aguito. Those are like the three biggest factories. I mean, they're also using El Rey del Mundo, but those three factories I just named, first, I mean, the control, the quality control coming out of them is spectacular. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, and so basically, just so we can wrap this little part up, because we rambled for a while, just so everybody knows, pre-99, from 2000 on, all you need to know is the first three numbers are the factory, the first three letters of the factory code. The next three are going to be your
month,
E&E for January, FEB for February, March, April, May, whatever. And then it'll give you the year after that. So it's pretty easy to identify. If you want to learn how to identify anything from 99 or 98 and before, go to a Cuban Cigar website. I think they have a box up there, and then they'll tell you how. If you run into, if you get lucky enough to try to find one, you know.
In which case, if you're buying cigars from the 90s, you're crazy. I don't think that's the brightest idea ever, but it's like, you know, you buy stuff from the 80s, and I mean, but yeah. Do you have, do you want to talk about other packaging, or do we want to talk?
You want me to talk about my package?
Yeah, talk about your package.
Hold on just a second. I have some special photos for later up, and I need to push those to the side. Let's see here.
By the way, this H. Upman is smoking wonderfully.
Is it? Yeah, they are good, dude. Okay, hold on. Let me get... Boom. Start screen share.
It's the flavors, man.
Okay, can you guys see that?
Juan Lopez!
Mm-hmm.
What a good cigar.
Mm-hmm. So, this is what they call a slide lid box, or an SLB. Might also be called cabinet selection at times. What you showed earlier was a dress box. So if you guys are seeing in the description of something SLB or dress box, This is what an STLB means. This is what a cabinet means. If you see VAR in the description, it means that this actual box is varnished. So it's a varnished cedar box. So it'll have kind of a gloss, like a lacquered gloss to it.
Have you ever come across many of those?
Yeah, all the Cohiba boxes are varnished. The Pontius 898 are varnished. Yeah. You know.
But there's a couple. There were some 898s that were unvarnished.
Yeah, no, I know. And some people tend to think one is better than the other, whatever.
Yeah, there's a big debate.
There's a big debate on that. I don't know. I don't get into it. I actually don't like the 898, so.
What? You
know. Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
I know. Go ahead. You may have to give me one. Okay, so now no. Here's some examples of some awesome packaging. So what we have here, yes, we have Tubos, right? You see some real nice, beautiful Tubos.
That's a really pretty picture there.
Well, thank you.
You did a good job.
My artistic ability. Yes. You see, this is my formal retail experience. So we have a little pataca of Churchill's, a pataca of Magnum 46, a pataca of Mille Fleurs. This is a grand case that actually has five patacas in there. We have the H. Upman Half Corona tin, which is the most awesome tin ever.
You know who's? And, you know PDR Cigars has like copied that practically, like identically. It's kind of sad.
I think it's cool, though. I mean, I'm down with it. Whatever. I think it's a great package idea. So
it is.
You know, if somebody wants to copy it, more power to them. But
yeah, it's just creativity, man. Roll with it.
So my cigar's going out a little bit. I'll let this go out while I talk. I'm smoking it too fast, anyways.
Okay, Logan.
Tubos, yeah, I know. Tubos came out in the 40s, and I have no idea why. My guess is for transportation, solely for transportation, and because of the fact that they'll hold humidity for 3 to 5 days with a really, really tight cap on it. So I had kind of wondered if, and I know we had talked about this, and I'm sure hopefully we'll find this out one day in our, you know, diggings into the history of Habanos, but I was wondering if they did it maybe so that when they shipped them overseas to, you know, the British, if that helped, but who knows?
Yeah, well, no, yeah, I thought I told you, I have an older book, and I'm actually, you know, the funny thing is I just ordered this really cool Habanos book, but they put them in glass tubes for a while, you know, this is back
in the 70s. Yeah, I saw that in the 70s they did glass tubes.
Well, I mean, yeah, and even before that, you know, even before, they were putting them in glass tubes to keep that humidity in there and kind of protect them for, well, while they travel, they're traveling on boat.
And then HSA does recommend that you take them out for aging, which I know that that's a huge debate. Some people don't. I think Min Ron Nee says, you know, to not, because it'll slow the aging process down. So it really depends. If you want to slow the aging process, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. Some people like you take the cap off. Me personally, I can't stand them, and I think they're mold magnets, so I get them out. And I don't care. I run low humidity, and I've still had them get moldy, so I just don't even want to deal with it.
Yeah.
I hate them. I love them, like, for my pockets and carrying around them. As you can see, I have, you know, multiple Tubos. These are just some I grabbed out of a drawer. I buy Tubos all the time. I love them.
Yeah, they're fun to stick in things.
Oh, yeah. And then this Half Corona packet, this came out in the 80s, and it was not this Half Corona packet, but they had an aluminum one, and they just, you know, introduced it with the Half Corona, which is really cool. I thought that was really neat. And the pataca, which is what these little things are right here, this is a little interesting tidbit. The pataca is also, it does mean cigar or cigarette case. It also means huge booty or huge tits as well, which I thought that was just awesome.
Nothing wrong with some huge booties and huge tits.
I know. Like I was like, wow, this means the direct translation is cigar case, cigarette case, tobacco pouch, big boobs, big booty. And I was like, awesome. I don't know. I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
It's the perfect package.
So, exactly. So, getting back on topic, if you look at these guys, you will see right here, you see
little seal.
What's it called? The Cuban seal.
And now, they don't have a code on it. They don't have the code.
They do, and I'll show you in just a second.
What?
These actually,
mine don't, that's why.
The patacas don't, but the master case does.
Okay, yeah.
And you'll see the newer Half Corona does have the little hologram on it, which is kind of neat. Then when we turn them around, you'll see that they all have the Habanos SA. They all have a barcode on them. The newer ones have the hologram. The older ones don't. Newer one has a hologram. You can see this is a really good picture because I've got the hologram out there.
Oh, that's
this
really
good. Barcodes on the back of everything. Because the ones that I know, one of the guys in the chat room, Jared, was talking about how you can buy these seals and the holograms aren't the same. But the fakers will use it. They'll have a fake hologram on there as well. There's another picture of how you can see how it kind of opens up like a cigarette box almost. And then there you go. On the master pack, you will get your date code. And it's stamped on the lid of the master pack. Another thing that's really big, and I just wanted to show these because I think they're cool, and one day if I'm ridiculously rich, I'll buy them, is jars. Here's a couple Partagas jars, which are absolutely beautiful. You'll find these things are extremely expensive when you can find them, and the cigars that come in them are typically aged. Here's
the
another
couple. Number two. You remember old the ones? Little CRP?
Oh, yeah, the P1.
Yeah, P1, there you go.
Which it looks like a P2, but I don't know what the difference is. I just know the P1 is the one.
It's like a
jar.
Isn't it like a Bellicoso, basically?
Yeah, it's a Bellicoso, just like a P2.
Yeah.
These are some vintage jars, which I thought were just freaking badass looking. I would love to have these. With the little leather handles and everything, I just think that's the pimpest thing ever. And then here's another recent production jar as well that I wanted to throw up there. So that'll give you guys an idea of what some of the different packaging that is out there to look for. The Patacas specifically were released so that brands like Cohiba or Monte Cristo, if you will, the more expensive cigars, people could buy them in packages. And I think it's a really good thing that they do that I wish the non-Cuban companies did in America. I mean, I think it'd be really neat. I know
there's one company that has picked up on it. One company.
Who's that?
Padron. With the 1926 series, they've made 10-count boxes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the little 10-count boxes.
But they also make 4-count Patacas now.
Really?
Yes. Because my local retailer has some of those Patacas then, which is great because it's brilliant.
It is, because nobody wants to go buy a box, spend that much money on a box, but to buy a 4-pack, take maybe $1 off the smoke, you know, so that you get a little deal on it. I think that's a great idea. Not so much a Vitola sampler, but it's more like on the go, grab my little Pataca, put them in my pocket. I don't know. I love it. I think they're awesome, and I carry mine around all the time. And so I would think I wish more non-Cuban distributors would get into that, because I think it's a really good thing that they do that is not really done in the American market. The jars aren't done in the American market either. I mean, I'll be honest, if one of my favorite brands did a jar like those vintage H. Upman and Punch jars, I would be all over that, dude.
That's pretty sweet.
All over. Imagine having that on your desk. Is your desktop humidor a jar?
I think Partagas has like the best tubos with those matte black. The D4 and the P2 tubos are awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
I almost buy the tubos just because of how cool they are. Well, you know, we're halfway through. We were talking about packaging and packages, and do you want to? Do we want to get into the fake money?
Let's get into the drama. Let's start some drama.
A viewer sent this to us.
Let's start some drama. Yes, this was a viewer submission that I got on Thursday. And this guy I know that had been burnt in the past. And he said, hey, can you tell me if this is real or not? And I didn't think anything of it. So I took a look at these pictures. And I'll show them to you guys.
And then you sent them to me.
And then I sent them to you. So let's take a look.
And I laughed my ass off.
And we figured out why. The first one, that looks like butt. There's a nice little black mark on there of love. That's just like some, you know, some like dead man's jizz that got slapped on the side. We have a wonderful band here, a typically uneven, disgusting banana leaf wrapper. Check this out. Now, this is just a quality band, totally off-center, not embossed, doesn't look like anything that should ever be in a Monte Cristo box, and it definitely looks like it should be in a glass top. And, you know, there's a little marker right up here that we'll get into in just a second. Oops. Next, we go to the next one, and we look at these veins. They do not look like a Cuban wrapper at all. And lastly, we get to the foot. Now, the foot is awesome. First off, there's no slight box press, which is what you should have in every Monte Cristo. But if you look here, you will see hints of green, unfermented tobacco. You'll also see some butthole and banana leaves and trash that was picked up on the side of the street that went into rolling the fine Ligero of this cigar. So, that being said,
Before we go ahead.
To be objective, I put up a poll on several social media sites yesterday to just kind of see what everybody thought about this cigar and see how well we had trained our viewers. And on, I'd say, about four different forums, Twitter, everybody pretty much was laughing about how terrible this thing looked and how it was fake as hell. And so it did come from a reviewer in the
Estados Unidos.
It came from a reviewer, and that reviewer found out and decided to post an apology about it this morning before we did our show tonight, which rightfully so, it's a good thing that he did because he needed to save a little face. So if you looked in the...
Well, you know, no, here, no, let's put it this way. Yeah, you know, he did it to save a little face, but there's a comment in there where it's like, you know, whether this was sent to me unintentionally or intentionally, basically, I don't know. That's basically what he says. First of all, if a viewer sent you or sent me a fake Monte Cristo and I reviewed it saying it was a real Monte Cristo, shame on me.
Not only that.
But it's like, don't go blaming them for not doing your homework.
Not only that. I mean, my problem with the whole thing is, as reviewers, we're supposed to be as objective as possible. And oftentimes I smoke and review cigars that I don't like. And when I do, if I have a problem with the cigar, I say the problem that I have and I recommend accordingly. This gentleman basically made what is banana leaves and dog hair sound like the cigar of the year. So he's full of shit. I mean, straight up. I don't care what anybody says. Because to me, that just question says objectivity altogether. I mean, if somebody sent one to me and I reviewed it, I would tell you, this is dog shit. Like, I wouldn't review it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you right now, I have smoked that cigar. I have smoked that fake because that is the kind of fake band you see all the time. It's very, very common. You'll see the black. I mean, I think on our first show when I did a show to Fake Monty that had a very similar band.
I think it was identical. It was probably the same cigar that got sent to him.
Yeah. And one of my buddies, he was like, come on, man, please just smoke one, try it, because I don't think they're that bad. And I was like, okay, I'll try it, you know, whatever. And I got about an inch into this thing, and it was disgusting. Like, my throat wanted to die. It tasted like dirt. It did not taste like creamy coffee latte, you know, flavors. And there's no way in hell I could smoke the whole thing. And if I was reviewing it, I would basically say this cigar is disgusting and I would not recommend it to anybody. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter where it came from. So the problem is as a reviewer, that basically means if I throw an Opus X band on a dog rocket, you know, it's going to get a good review. And that's bullshit because that's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm doing a review on Opus X Claw City and I didn't love it and I didn't think it was that great. And I'm going to say that when I do the review. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about some of the good parts of it, and I'm going to talk about some of the bad parts about it. But the problem is, no, Harley asked if they were Don Pichardo bad, and to be completely honest, that's kind of a funny joke, but fake Cubans are the worst things ever. They are disgusting. I mean, I would rather smoke a cigarette. I would rather inhale Marble Reds than smoke a fake Cuban. So to me, I don't know. I would have taken the video down immediately and apologized, you know, and said, my bad, and really used it as an example to say, hey, this is how a band can affect somebody's objectivity.
I wouldn't have even put it up, because if someone sent it to me, if someone sent me that cigar, I would look at it. And not only after looking at it, I would say, this is a fake cigar, so I'm not going to, I mean, why am I going to review a fake cigar? And I tell them, dude, this is a fake smoke, man. I'd be honest about it. I understand.
I mean, not a lot of people are educated in Cuban cigars, so...
Well, then why are you getting into the area of even talking about it?
Well, that's exactly. Like, I mean, what it comes down to...
Shut the hell up. Don't even get into it. Like, don't fucking do it.
what it comes down to is reviews like that are the reason why guys like us exist. We are here to educate the masses so that they don't review fake Monte Cristo Monty 2s, to be completely honest. Anybody who's smoked a fake one will tell you they taste like disgusting burnt grass, and yeah, it's gross. So my only problem with the issue is not, I think he was a gentleman in apologizing, but blaming it on the guy and going.
No, I'll give him props on apologizing, but.
Yeah, I'll give him props on that, but really, that is not objectivity. When you go and smoke what's supposed to be the best cigar of the year and you talk about how great it is, and you just smoked a dog rocket rolled with freaking butthole hair and banana leaves, that's just disgusting, man.
That's basically, I read other people's reviews and their notes and said, oh, that's what they all got out of it, and that's what I got out of it, even though I didn't taste that at all.
It's not a pepper bomb, and now you got a bunch of viewers who are like, oh, it's a pepper bomb. No, it's not a pepper bomb.
Well, it's a bunch of uneducated fuckers.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
I'm all riled up.
It's okay. We should.
I know Logie Bear is going to be flipping out on me.
I wasn't even going to say anything about who it came from. I was just going to say that it was fake and that it came from a reviewer. Beware, you know, even reviewers can get burned. But the fact that then within, you know, a couple hours of us posting this, and all of a sudden the word spreads, because you can know, everybody knew who it was from. Then all of a sudden he posts an apology and, oh, my bad, I got burned. I'm never going to review a Cuban cigar again, not until the embargo's lifted. Well, it sucks for you, dude, because what embargo?
What embargo? The best thing was
there. Watch our show, Brian. Watch our show. We will educate you, dude. We will educate you, bro. Come over.
Couple other fellow online media members who, like, messaged me and were like, apologies up. And it's like three people did it. And I'm like, man, why are they messaging me? What the heck are they talking about? And then I'm like, oh, now I remember what they're talking about, because I forgot about it, because wait a minute, Big Tuna don't give a shit. So
let's go
back to the H up, man.
Mag 46. Let's talk about the Mag 46.
Your thoughts. This whole show is about. I threw my lighter in the state of rage that I was in.
It's okay. So the Mag 46 in H Upman, like, the whole reason why I got into Cuban cigars was I had a H Upman number 2 from 2004, and it blew my mind. It was like three distinct changes, all sorts of complexity, ridiculous flavors, and super full body, but no heaviness on my palate, if you will. And that's what changed me. And ever since then, I was like, oh, my God, I love H. Upman. I need to, like, experience H. Upman cigars and buy as many as I can and find them. And that's what changed me onto Cubans, was I was getting the power out of the cigar that reminded me of the DPG and AJ blends, but I wasn't getting that heavy palate burn, right? Like, I could smoke this cigar and then light another one up and be like, my mouth is fine. This is great. And that's what changed me and got me into Habanos. So when you asked to review the 46, I was very, very excited about it. And I think we got some similar notes. So I have mine up. And the four-year age difference is definitely going to change things. And to be completely honest, you can't really, you know, we can't really compare.
It's a different crop. Everything's different about it.
But I will say this, is they are pretty consistent throughout the years, and you very rarely find a bad year. It's just sometimes if one year needs more age than the other, but they always have similar flavors, several profiles, just like Monte Cristo's and just like the Cohibas. So,
do you know the first cigar I ever smoked?
Mm-hmm.
I was in seventh grade. This was 1998, uh-huh. And it was a Cuban H. Upman Sir Winston. That's the first cigar I ever smoked.
Serious.
I mean, I didn't go with Macanudo. Yeah, and I was living in Budapest, Hungary at the time. So it's like, of all the cigars, of course I didn't even appreciate it.
I'll smoke a Backwoods, dog.
Don't diss the Honey Berry Backwoods.
Oh,
those things are better than fake Monty number 2s.
I will smoke. I would put a Monty band on a Backwood and give it a better review than a fake Monty 2. Guarantee you that.
But you're right about the H. Upman brand, and it's, you know, there's something kind of unique with each size, but at the same time, there's this consistent classic H. Upman flavor that is just present with number 2s, Sir Winston's, Magnum 50s, Half Coronas, 46s. That's just incredible.
No, and I put, just to go over my notes, because I know some people ask for more notes and tasting notes and whatnot, and instead of us just gabbing about how much we love it. So I put my just a quick note on here of what I experienced. And the first third I had this really rich coffee bean latte, and I put a light roast pea berry. And just to clarify what that means for people, I'm a coffee fanatic, and I have all varying types of coffee beans. And a pea berry is a really small bean, light roast from Tunisia or whatever, someplace in God knows where. They have them. You can get pea berries in different regions and whatnot. Typically, they're real light roasted. And I'd be like, that's seriously what I'm drinking right now. I made some pea berry espresso with and I made a latte. You can't see the foam anymore, but
is that an Oakland Raiders coffee mug?
Hell yeah, it is. Shout out to my boy Stogie Stand for sending these to me for my birthday last year. It's a huge mug, and I love it. I really get like this rich light coffee beans. I had this sugary yellow bell on the front of the retro. A little bit of red pepper. The body picked up. Very rich. The richness came a little bit drier. It was more like a black coffee, like a light coffee without the cream. Very sharp and distinct. And what was weird was when I was smoking this one, dude, I swear to God, it felt like the flavor was like rolling off my tongue as I exhaled. It was so bitching. Like,
it's
rare, but it was just so like just
46s. The 46s just smoke wonderfully.
It was like an airplane going off my mouth and off my tongue. It was for, yeah, Simon likes the Raiders too. Sorry, I got to give it up for Raider fans. and then the last third of it, this is where I really, really, really like the vintage Habanos, is it gets full on, full body, super rich, super peppery, and for me, I get a lot of almond notes in.
It's nutty. It's a nutty cigar.
And, yeah, I get a lot of nutty notes in them. And what's cool is when you get that burn from a pepper or body, and it combines with the nutty notes. Rob and I talk about this a lot, and it's a note that Rob and I always pick
Rob.
Out. But it's Robbie Ross. It's almond liqueur. Shit. It's almond liqueur, and I mean
it's
that
called amaretto, like, man. It's amaretto.
Well, I know what amaretto is. I cook with it.
These are amaretto on the rocks.
Frangelica, bro. I tasted some Frangelica in it. Whenever I say a liqueur note, and it could be any kind of liqueur, I'm associating the flavor that I'm getting. The primary flavor combined with like the burn of a red pepper or a retrohale, and when you get them together and they meet, you get this really, really cool flavor. And to me, with the traditional Cuban blending, is modern blending, you get this real big spice powerhouse up front, and then it backs down, and if you're lucky, it comes back. Traditional Cuban blending, especially as they age, it just gets better and better and better and better and better, and the older they are, they just pick up this huge, like, strength at the end, but it's not overpowering.
They grow.
I mean, it's just, like, beating your palate to death with, like, all sorts of awesome flavors.
They grow
not, like,
as cigars.
Smashing it with a... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable.
There's complexity, and there's balance, and there's a lot of depth, and the cigars go in a lot of directions. I mean, for me, it's like... I don't think the cigar is overly spicy. There are subtle spices present. There are some subtle pepper notes, but it's like there's nutty notes. There's coffee notes. There's tobacco notes. There's that leather quality to it, especially with age. You know, that leather quality, I think, really starts to come out. And I always, I find it with a couple non-Cubans. But I find it more with Cuban. There's some stone fruit notes. There's like this subtle cherry.
I think that was probably where my yellow bell, my sugar bell, was coming from, because like a lot of times when I associate a type of spice or type of pepper, like to me, like yellow bells are really, really sugary and sweet, and that's where I figured I'm getting that same note that you were getting, the stone fruit notes.
Yeah.
And then when I say red pepper, it's more like that burn when it just like kind of burns you just a little bit,
Yeah. Not really.
Like, it's like when you put like some red pepper flakes on a piece of pizza and you're eating it and you're like, yeah, this is good. And then after the last second, you're like,
I love red pepper flakes on my pizza.
Oh, and it finishes in the back of your mouth. You got that nice little heat kick, That's freaking awesome, dude.
And this is a cigar. I find H. Upman, and this is what makes H. Upman great. And I think Partagas does this pretty well. And I don't think some of the other brands, Juan Lopez does it well too. H. Upman goes great with coffee.
Yep.
It goes great with like a Zinfandel, Shiraz, a wine. It goes really well with some maltier beers. Like I'm drinking a West Mull Triple. It goes great with those. It's a cigar that by itself is incredible, but when you pair it with, you know, the right beers, wines, and coffee, I mean, it's incredible. It opens up even more. And it's it 5 years, and the thing will be unbeatable.
Well, that's where I'm really into some of the different roasted beans and different types of beans, different regions and whatnot for cigars, and specifically. The Upmans are one of those that I could just, with a good latte, I'm just all over that shit, man. I love it. I mean, I love the creaminess of the, and a light espresso, you know, not an overpowering espresso that just like coats your mouth, but just a good light espresso that's strong, beefy, with that nice creaminess to it.
Yeah, and there's some creamy aspects. It's a great smoke. You know, we're speaking about H. Upman. You know, the Magnum 50. Do you have any Magnum 50s? Have you smoked them probably though?
Yeah, I have. I had a bunch that died. I had a bad mold thing that happened a while back, and it was long story. It was very tragic, and some Magnum 50s died.
But you know, whenever I hold a Magnum 50, which is just like a 6x50,
you feel like Monica Lewinsky.
It's huge. But whenever you hold a non-Cuban like a 6x50, it's like normal. Yeah. Whenever I pick up that Magnum 50 H. Upman, it's like, I know we're getting off from the Magnum 46, okay. But it's like, wow, like this is friggin' just gigantic. What are you laughing at, the chat room?
No.
You're laughing at me, man. You're laughing at me. But you know what? Do you know what I'm saying?
46 is real, bro.
What's up?
Whatever. Keep going.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying though? When you get that 50 plus ring gauge with Habanos. It's like, holy crap, this is huge.
It's weird. I mean, when we were talking about the Epicure Special Hoyo earlier before we got on it, I'm like, I don't know. It's like big. It's, I don't know how to explain it because I smoke so many smaller ones.
Yeah.
You know,
the bigger ring gauges
always trip me out. But
I mean,
apparently there's a smaller ring gauge Romeo and Julieta that came out too.
The Petite Churchill?
Well, you know, I saw the Petite Churchill came out and
The Julieta, not like the tiny one.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to see. One of the guys asked about it and asked about the Trinidad factory, so I'm going to put those down for the next show because I can't go too much later tonight.
We're gonna talk about the Reyes next time, aren't we?
You want to do the Reyes next time?
Yeah, why don't we talk about the Trinidad Reyes?
Well, let's do the Trinidad Reyes next time. So,
because we can have anything like else? Two of them.
Do we have anything else? Yeah, no kidding. Do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't, man. We're coming up on 9 o'clock. We're keeping it to an hour. I think it was a pretty good show. You know,
I do have a gig tonight.
Oh yeah, there's a couple things that we need to do. First of all,
yeah, sure.
Join the forum if you haven't already. Cubans.cigarfederation.com. Join the forum. It's great. It's growing. It was a great first month. We're continuing to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like us on Facebook. What Embargo on Facebook? That's fun as hell. Who else, man? You know. Oh, you can't make it, but next week I'm going to be on Stogie Geeks, kind of talking about What Embargo and Cubans with the Stogie Geek guys.
What night of the week?
Thursday. sometime. I can't remember. But, man, thanks for following. And, you know, thanks to Cigar Federation. And, you know, keep watching. You know, I mean, great shows, Half Ash, Stogie Geeks. You know, Cigar Chat, it's not in that order because I know Logan's going to be like, why'd you list this list? So, but there's a lot of great shows. Thanks to our international viewers. Guy, if you're watching.
Absolutely. I want hats and shirts or something or some kind of sticker or patch from Guy's Cigar Club, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Guy, if you're watching and they have and you guys have like a Cigar Club website, I want to be a member.
I want to see what Guy looks like. I bet he's a badass.
We should have him on it. We should have him on as a guest, and we'll review Quai d'Orsay. You can be all butthurt.
I'm not even gonna, dude. Just you and Guy can talk about it. I ain't gonna fucking do shit.
That would be awesome.
But I know you have a gig. I know you have a gig, so I guess we should just wrap up episode Trace. We're gonna be back on March 15th for episode 4.
Yeah, the next few episodes, guys, I do have a monthly gig here, and it doesn't I didn't get it fixed completely until July. So in the meantime, some of our shows will start at 5. Some of them might start at 5:30, depending upon what time I'm playing, because I've got to get out there and get set up and get ready
time.
To go.
That's Pacific time, right?
So, but, yeah, Pacific time.
Yeah. Like,
so, yeah, I mean, it's either Pacific time or East Coast time. I mean, no other time really matters, in all honesty, you know? I mean,
as long as it's not fucking Central time zone. Like,
why would anybody go on Central Logan time zone? That's retarded.
Logan thinks the world revolves around Austin, Texas, or around Red Round, or around Rock, wherever the hell he lives. But, yeah. That's about all we have. I think this is.
So that being said, I know there was a couple questions that some of the guys posted today.
If you need to go, I'll answer the questions.
That's cool. I mean, I say we get them for the next time. We should probably on the website in the What Embargo forum put out a thread for questions so that we can answer them on the shows, because he asked about the new ROHA. Apparently, it's a 33 ring gauge, and I didn't hear about it. I may have heard about it because I love small ring gauge Romeo and Julietas, like the Julia Julietta and the Sport Lago. Love
those
things.
I had no idea about this new Romeo 33 ring gauge. I didn't see anything
about
it.
Well, he had a question about the Trinidad factory as well. So,
and down in Pinar del Rio.
Yeah, and my I didn't turn the lights on my deck out here, so it's getting pretty dark. I'm going to be hiding in the dark here pretty soon.
Dude, you're almost like the Mujahideen or friggin' Taliban in Tora Bora
dude,
over there.
You know what's funny? Random side note that means nothing to this show whatsoever. On Sunday mornings, a lot of times, I go work out with a buddy of mine who's an amateur MMA fighter, and we go work out in the park and get our Rocky, you know, montage on and swing ropes around and throw tires and sledgehammers and all that bullshit. And anyways, there's this old Sikh guy who, like, jogs around, and he only comes around on Sundays because he doesn't want to get beat up by anybody in the neighborhood, and he knows if we're out there, he won't get beat up.
Well,
and he was completely afraid of me because he thought I was a Muslim because I don't have a mustache. And apparently the Muslim Brotherhood all wear beards like this without a mustache, and my beard hadn't been trimmed in a while, and it looked all nasty, so it was crazy.
All Zero Dark 30 shit, man.
Oh yeah, it was funny. It was a good time. So, anyways, guys, I do need to run. I've got to be on stage in less than an hour, which means I've got to
take it easy,
shower,
Johnny Cash,
get cleaned up, and go rock balls tonight. So, to all my wonderful viewers out there, all the
catfish, go to the bottom.
Tuna
of the pond,
and I'm going to the bottom of the pond, and I hope you all are learning something from our shows. That way, you don't smoke fake Monte Cristo number twos.
And if you do, don't say you smoked a real one.
Or that they tasted like coffee and cream and all sorts of beautiful things and metallic wonderness. Later, guys.
Later, guys.